Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Kent.
And this is Film and Family, a podcast for professionals in the film and entertainment industries who want to experience deep joy and satisfaction in both their family life and film career.
Let's jump right in. All right, welcome to this new podcast. This is our first episode. We are going to be covering a topic that we feel is really important. This is
going to be a one-take wonder.
Yes, so there might be some flubs, but that's okay. So we want to talk about this idea that I think a lot of us struggle with, and if we don't struggle with it, maybe our parents struggle with it, and they've been sort of pushing it into our minds and our subconsciouses all growing up, but it's this idea that maybe having a healthy or, I don't know, a normal or a happy family and having a really successful or exciting film career are mutually exclusive, or that you can't have one without the other. And sometimes people tell us this, but I think sometimes we tell ourselves this. Sometimes we almost experience what might make us believe that that's the case, because it can be really hard. It can be really hard to balance those two things. It can be really hard to find what we imagine in our minds is success in those two things, because maybe our families don't seem as happy as we want them to be, or maybe we're struggling, or maybe we have a really happy family, but we're just wicked broke, or maybe our wicked brokenness is actually causing more issues in the family life, which is often the case. So sometimes these things push and pull, and they create tension there. I think that there's all kinds of tension for it, but we just want to address that thought and just have a conversation on that note.
Yeah, this is, I think, always a challenge for people, anyone who has a film and a family, to balance both, to find that middle ground with both, where you can have satisfaction and not have them be at the expense of the other. And it's sort of something that I think is alluded to in the questions that people ask us. I would say that one of the, and we're by no means experts on this, but it's something we're always trying to figure out with our own family and film careers. And something that people always ask is, how do you do both? And I feel like even our own families who know our lifestyle are kind of in this bewildered, like, how do you provide for your family and work in films? And I think we often even feel that way, like, how are we doing this?
So my mom once in casual conversation asked me, I mentioned a gig that we had gotten, that I was shooting something or editing something for some commercial client. And I mentioned offhand, like, how much it was. It was like a few thousand dollars. And mind that I've been doing this for years, and my wife and I have been married for a little over 5 years now, and she just asked, how did you get that job? Like it didn't even make sense. Like, how did you find this other entity that decided that they actually wanted to pay you for this? So it was just kind of a funny thing, and it just hit me that some people just, sometimes self-employment in general is a mystery to them, but especially the film industry, that's a big mystery. And what's even a bigger mystery, I think, is narrative and creative art and how you actually make money doing that. How do you actually get a film funded? Those kinds of things are even more mysterious sometimes. And so when you're making a career doing more predominantly that sort of thing, it gets even more, people just don't know how that works. And that's something we're all learning how to do. But the more it becomes real, I think the more it just seems magical to those on the outside. So
what I'm wondering is, did you ever feel this way? Like, did you ever feel like you couldn't do both?
Yes and no, because I distinctly remember when we were getting married, when we were engaged, I actually remember sitting in our blue Prius, I think it was like the Walmart parking lot or whatever, and we were just talking about, like, how are we going to make this work? I think we actually even sensed then how not normal the life we wanted was. And it wasn't just that we wanted to get married, we wanted to have kids, and we wanted to have a family or have a film career. That's normal, right? I mean,
sort of.
I mean, well, it's not like, for people in the film industry, that's pretty normal. I think that there's a lot of them who do want to eventually fall in love, get married, have kids, and make money making films in some capacity or another, whether you're an actor, a DP, or director, or grip, or whatever. And so I think that on top of that, you and I wanted to spend an enormous amount of time together. We didn't want to just be like, you do your thing, I do my thing. We had sort of this ridiculously romantic notion of, okay, we're going to never separate from each other's presence for the next lifetime.
Yeah.
And we are going to make money together, but somehow raise this family together. We're both, you know, we're going to homeschool our kids somehow, which was like this random goal we had. And I think we're still, you know, tentatively moving in that direction. Our kids are just entering schoolish age. And anyway, so we had these like what seemed to be totally bizarre things. And really the conclusion we came to was, I guess we'll figure it out. we didn't have any, I don't think we had any hard, fast
But did answers. You feel like we would in that moment? Or were there ever times that you doubted it?
I definitely think that as we got more advanced and the first kid came and the second kid came, I think we started to go, okay, well, what's the deal? Like, how are we going to make this work? And especially as like school, you can kind of toss back and forth. You have to. We were both still in school. But then once you graduate, it's like, okay, whose job is what and how are we making money and what do we do? And we've tried everything. We've tried you working a lot. We've tried me working exclusively and you trying to be the stay-at-home mom. We've tried half days. We've tried mixed days. We've tried, you know, man, at one point in school, it got so stressful that we got a gym membership because it was cheaper than daycare. We put our kids in the kid care part of the gym and you could go finish homework by the pool. You weren't even working out. And, you know, we do crazy stuff like that just to like squeeze in time to make it all work. I guess there were times when, yeah, I definitely was like, why don't I just work and you stay at home? And maybe we can just, when we start making real money, you can jump back into this film career. And then your concerns, I believe, were more like, well, how can I take a 10-year hiatus and have no experience whatsoever?
Well, more than 10 years.
Yeah.
It would be
yeah,
20 a very years. Large.
So we explored all this stuff. So I think there were definitely moments where I was stumped, if not doubtful that it could work out. So, yeah.
Well, I remember very clearly kind of easing out of my dream. Like, I think I just had these two separate dreams of, you know, I'm going to grow up and be a mom and have lots of kids. And then I'm also going to grow up and direct films. And I had those two dreams for a while. And I never really thought about how they could get in the way of each other until we were in school and we had our first kid. And then I was pregnant with the second when we graduated. And around that time, I think I was beginning to think like, this is the death of my film career, because it was so hard to finish school with a baby. And then I was having a second and I just couldn't see how it would be possible to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
And I didn't see how it'd be possible to put one off for, you know, 20, 30 years to raise kids and back to it.
That brings up this doubt that I've always had where people are like, well, women should get college degrees and then go be homemakers. And if anything happens to your husband, you'll be able to jump into the workforce. And I'm like, college degrees aren't very great in and of themselves for jumping into any workforce, man or woman, much less someone who is out of the industry or workforce at all for 20 years. And then being like, well, I got a college degree 20 years ago from this school that may or may not exist anymore. You know,
I mean, I do feel more stable because we're doing this together. But
yeah, anyway, I just think it didn't seem very feasible of a plan to say, I'll just hang out. I shouldn't say that. No one just hangs out, especially moms, parents in general. But I'll just, you know, take a break from film and focus on this other thing, whatever it is, for 20 years and then jump back into film. It's like saying, I'm not going to touch the keys of a piano and then I'm going to play some concertos in 20 years.
It's not just impossible, but it
maybe it would work for some people. I know the Coppolas have found some success with that. She has started somewhat of a film career in her, you know, later years. But anyway, so these were things we were all just balancing and struggling, right? So,
well, and we bring this up because if you're like us, then maybe you've also experienced something like this, whether it was when you first had kids or you got a big gig that was 12-hour days and you started to realize what a demand that was, or you have just run into a family crisis where your family needed you and you couldn't be there. And there's all sorts of things that we've heard and seen. And I think we've seen our peers graduate film school and often fall on one side or the other, where they either completely give up on film and say, it was just kind of it's kind of a hobby now. I just have to grow up and get a day job. Or they pursue the film path and kind of forego opportunities to start a family, and it takes over everything that they do.
Yeah, and they have these goals. It's not just like that they've decided, I don't want to have a family. If that's the case, like that's not really the issue. We're talking about people who have deep desires to get married, but they're not dating anyone because they're working all the time. Literally, they're so passionately dedicated to getting this film career off the ground, which is admirable, but then they're letting other deep personal desires go by the wayside. And maybe that's you on one hand or the other. And like Anna was saying, on the flip side, we've seen couples literally both in the film industry, both completely cut ties with the film industry. Like they've decided it's just too hard. You know, they go to LA, they get burnout, they get jaded, and they say, it's not possible. They literally conclude, maybe it's not meaningful or not possible, or it doesn't matter, or you can't support a family. You can't make real money doing this. It's too expensive to live in LA maybe. And there's all these reasons or obstacles, and it might hit other people at different times of life. Like I can also imagine people who are young or struggling with, maybe their family can't support them as much to go to a film school or to go to LA or to sometimes work these entry-level film industry jobs, which pay little to nothing. They have to be fiscally supported somehow. So there's all sorts of obstacles that make film and family seem like, how can you possibly start both and manage both at the same time?
Yeah. And I think something that I like to use as an analogy moving into what can we do? Like, and is it true that these are mutually exclusive or not? I like to think about a double pan balance scale. And if your life is, you know, on one side you have film and on the other side you have your family and you're trying to balance both. And let's assume that balance feels good. And being out of balance doesn't feel good. It feels disproportionate. It feels kind of uncomfortable. Then I think a lot of people make the mistake of trying to sequence their priorities and just say, well, I'm going to invest in my film career for a long time and then I'll have a family. As soon as I can just get this film thing going, then I start my family. Or they say, you know, I'm just going to do the family thing for a while and then I'll get around to the film career. It's like, still going to happen.
Like I'll get a day job doing something with some skills that I've developed.
It's temporary. It's just going to support the family and then I'll go back to my film dream.
You know, that reminds me of, and it's not a film book at all, but it's a book by Clayton Christensen and Karen Dillon and some other author. He has some co-authors called How Will You Measure Your Life? And he mentions that even these Harvard Business School graduates were experiencing the same thing where they said, okay, like I'm going to start this big nonprofit. They have these huge dreams. I'm going to start this company that does this really unique thing, or I'm going to create these new products, or I'm going to go work at this one place. Like I'm going to work for this one journal as an editor or whatever. And like, they have all these like dreams, and they're their dreams because they're meaningful to them. They actually believe that I'm going to do something very meaningful, but then they end up electing to do something that seems more normal or natural. And then what happens is they actually, because they're Harvard Business School graduates, find a lot of success doing that normal, natural, whatever thing that they choose. And then they start climbing the ranks in that company doing something they don't particularly care about. And then pretty soon they find, when they're in their 40s and 50s or whatever, they come back to college reunions, and they start asking each other, hey, I thought you were going to do that one thing. And they go, oh, yeah, well, this is just temporary. And then 10 more years down the road, they're middle-aged, and then their lifestyle has expanded to the income that they're making at high-level jobs at these other places. And if they were going to go start that thing that they said they were going to do, like that nonprofit or that new product or that big thing that they wanted to create, well, they'd have to start from scratch, or they'd have to make some sacrifices, or they'd have to, you know, but now they've had all these kids and they've started the families and they've, so anyway, like what you're saying, they kind of, maybe they put the family first at that point, or for some reason or another, they delayed doing the thing that they thought was what they felt called to do or meaningful. And that doesn't mean what they're doing now isn't meaningful, but they thought they could just jump in later, and then they realize this is going to require hard sacrifices now when I'm used to living off of $100K to $300K a year in these high up executive positions at these companies. And I related to that a lot in the book based on what you're saying, like this idea of like, well, what if we just jumped into a different job and then jump back out. I'm like, feature filmmaking or any kind of filmmaking, starting a business of any kind, it's just going to require a lot of sacrifice. And so if you're going to do it, why not do it really young?
Anyway. Well, yeah. And I think that people have this concept of balance means I put equal time and effort into each side. If you imagine the balance scale, like they have to be equal on both sides. But if you're loading it up on one side and not doing anything on the other side, you're actually going to be out of balance that whole time. And then even if eventually you start loading up the other side, you'll achieve balance for just a moment and then be out of balance again. And it's just like, it's going to take a very long time if you've spent 20 years of your life investing in one side to catch up on the other side. And most people can't just spend 20 years like trying to make their family work and not have a career. And so I think it's important to build from the ground up on both, because you start to get the stability right from the onset. And it makes sense that when you're first starting out, any little shift in weight is going to kind of rock the boat. And so there's sort of this wrestle at first that's very difficult to achieve that balance. But then the more weight you add to both evenly over time, it starts to stabilize, so that like little differences in balance don't actually make a big difference. Like, it doesn't shift the scale so much.
So like if you've got like that scale and I put a pound on each one, mm-hmm. and then I put a pound on the film side, it's going to be twice as heavy, mm-hmm. and it's going to, you know, drop down to the bottom, and then I got to put a pound on the other side and it'll rebalance out. And then I just kind of keep playing that seesaw game, but it doesn't look very stable. But then 10, 20 years later, I've got 6,000 pounds on both sides and I add a pound to the film side, but it's
like imperceptible.
Yeah. It's imperceptible at that point. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Like this idea of like, if we start both early, they're both going to be rock solid as you go down life. But if you've just heavily load up on just career, it'll take you forever. If not, you might never be able to catch up on the family side, and vice versa. Like if you focus on family in your mind, at least by taking a day job, well then that day job will be so heavy that like the idea of switching to a freelance career or whatever, it's not impossible. It's really not. And you know, experience is experience and everyone's story is going to be different, but this idea of putting things off for later is something that maybe we are questioning in this conversation.
Well, and I think another reason people want to do that is because of the impatience for success. And I think I often feel like the tortoise and the hare kind of story. When we graduated film school, I just told you this recently, I felt like I saw all our peers like running off to LA and getting internships and making stuff. And I felt like we were behind because things moved a lot slower for us. We had a family. We couldn't just, you know, cut all ties and run to LA. And so we were sort of,
we cut all ties and ran to Atlanta instead, which was
a great decision.
Yeah. And a decision we made based on the fact that we thought there seemed like there was more demand versus supply of filmmakers in Atlanta.
It was more affordable and family friendly.
Like we couldn't really imagine ourselves paying decent rent.
We should do an episode on that. But anyway, so I felt like everyone was going so much faster, just like the tortoise in the stories, like watches the rabbit speed by and is like, oh man, how am I ever going to win this? But if you just keep going slow and steady really does win the race, because we watched our peers burn out and go home and give up. And it's not everybody's story, but I think we just kept steadily moving forward until those same peers were like, hey, what are you doing? That seems to be working. Yeah. And suddenly they're coming to us for advice. And it was like, oh, wow. You know, I thought you were the one who was way ahead of me. But I think just that steady, persistent, balanced investment really does create the stability over time.
Yeah. And I want to make clear that like, we obviously don't think we're better than anyone. And we also know a lot of these peers that we're thinking of, I know who we're thinking of. we admire them deeply as filmmakers and as people. And we're like, that person's going to make a great spouse, and that person's going to make a great parent, and that person's going to make awesome films, like whatever kind of filmmaking they're interested in. And it always breaks our heart a little bit to see people give up on one side or the other, because we know how great they can be. And obviously people can make their own choices. They really can. And they might end up feeling like they need to go a different direction, and they're probably right, because they're the ones making decisions over their own lives. But often it also seems that these people, it's a reluctance. It's not, oh, I feel really good about this decision to change direction. It's, I can't do this, so I guess I have to pick something else. And I don't think that's true. And I think a lot of us think that sometimes, like, I have to pick something else, some other job, some other career. I have to adjust my goals because these things that I want aren't possible. Well, it's possible that they're not right for you, or that maybe you feel that you should do something different. But the idea that they're not possible just isn't true. That's a belief that I think is burdening a lot of us down. It slows us down. It keeps us from progressing, and it's going to discourage us if we really believe that those two things are mutually exclusive and that they're not possible.
Yeah, I think that this is, if we were going to leave you with one thing for me, it would be that it's possible. It is possible to have both at the same time. And in fact, they're not mutually exclusive. It can be mutually supportive. And if we go back to this, you know, balance scale analogy, if you have balance, you can put so much more weight on, because if there's too much weight on one side, you can kind of break the scale, or like it's at the expense of the other. It's a big burden to bear on the family if you're investing it all on one side with film, or vice versa. But if you can achieve that balance, the scale just kind of floats, because both sides are supporting each other, which is kind of hard to imagine like what that means on a specific level. But I know for me, a big realization that I had was that I'm a better mother when I feel fulfilled in what I'm doing, when I feel like I'm being an example of doing what I feel like I need to do in the world. And that was film. And I always thought, like, maybe it's selfish of me to pursue this and I should just stay home with my kids. And yet I've realized I'm a better mom when I feel like I'm doing what matters. And it is an example to them. And they want to do that too. And at the same time, I'm a better filmmaker because I'm a mom, and because I have all these experiences of having a family, and the struggles that we face are things that you just can never experience without having a family, or having a personal life. Like, if all you do is work, you don't really have very meaningful things to say in your films.
Because there are more meaningful things in life than films. Film is a reflection of life, right? Art in general, all disciplines like that are just a representation of real life. And real life is where the true, deep, meaningful things happen and are and exist. And so, yeah, I agree. I had all these thoughts as you were saying that last point that you just said.
Well, I have one more thing, and maybe you'll think of them. I guess my invitation to you would be, wherever you're at with your balance scale, to take kind of a personal inventory and see where you're at. And if this is something that you want both, to consider, maybe I should take a break and invest in family for a little while. Or maybe I need to more heavily invest in one side or the other in order to achieve that balance, and then kind of just move forward with pretty equal distribution of weight. And that doesn't mean equal time to both necessarily. It just means that your priorities are straight. And so just like one weight could be small but weigh a lot, as opposed to another weight that's big but doesn't weigh very much, it's going to look different for you and your circumstances, but
yeah,
you can kind of feel when you have the balance or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I keep wanting to almost interject with these ideas, and then I open my mouth and I'm like, I'm blanking. No, it's just, it's not about when we talk about investment, it's usually not about like how much money can you pour in faster. It's how much earlier can you start investing in something? Almost always, that's the name of the game. Like, the earlier you start, the younger you start, there's exponential differences that make it so that you will never catch up if you start 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years later. Even if you pour it in, like, you know, it's like that, you know, that Dave Ramsey thing. I don't know. it's like every financial person, I feel like, has made this point that, like, someone who starts when they're 23 and someone who starts when they're 33, the person who starts at 33 could be investing double the amount, but they will never catch up, like, double the amount every month in this same interest yielding thing. Mm-hmm. So it's the same way with this film and family stuff. I really do feel like if those are the two most valuable things to you, you really feel like these are two really big, maybe not the most, but they're two of the most valuable things, and you really believe that long term you want them to exist and to happen and to be fruitful for you in your life. Fruitful meaning, you know, you want to experience all that joy that comes from creating meaningful film that reaches a lot of people and having a family that these relationships mean something to you, and that you can have this closeness with them. As hard as both of those things are, the earlier we start, at least this has been our strategy, the better. We know that if we just stick with it for a very long term and we start both as early as we could, that those would eventually yield the greatest byproduct of joy. And that's our own personal feelings and thoughts and theories. It's working out pretty well. It's not like we're, you know, competing with Christopher Nolan to who's going to release the next theatrical, you know, movie that's going to bring everyone back to movie theaters or anything. And it's also not like we have a perfect family that is always happy, smiling, and whatever. I don't think that really matters. The point is,
don't tell them that.
Oh yeah. No, I think that what really matters is that we are investing, and we know that, if we just keep investing and working hard, that these two things will, against all odds, really pan out. And that requires some faith. That requires some faith in the process and in the time, which you need to have that kind of faith, whether you're, you know, if you're a filmmaker at all, because it just takes so much faith. I feel like I listened to this podcast episode called The Producer's Guide, which I recommend that podcast. I think he might have stopped doing episodes, but it's on Podcast One, and it's Todd Gardner, who's produced movies like XXX and Pearl Harbor and some stuff from Michael Bay and whatever. But he goes into really great detail, and he talked about how you just have to go out there and listen to people tell you, no, this is never going to work, all day long. And you just have to have so much faith in, well, I'm going to start the process and I'm going to work it out and I'm going to address concerns, and everyone's going to tell me 1,000 times that this is never going to work in 1,000,000 years. And then guess what? In a few years, it does work out and the film gets funded and you get it made. And then pretty soon you've got a career in your past that looks pretty good. And it takes a long time and it takes a lot of faith, but you just have to be like, if I keep working at it, things will materialize. If I keep working at it, not only will we have kids, but we'll like our kids and we'll actually get along and we'll have a family life that matters to us, that, you know, brings us joy. Same with the film career. And so it really does take imagining it and then just moving toward it, even if you have no idea how or specifically how you're going to do that. What matters most is that you believe that it is possible, and then you just keep moving in that direction and making necessary course corrections along the way to just kind of move toward that vision. And I hope that doesn't sound...
Keep tweaking the scale. Keep just making those little balance adjustments.
That sounds so esoteric, but that really is, I think... It's powerful. It's kind of how we've tried to do it. And I've noticed there are times in my life where I go, you know what? I'm not really pointed in that direction. And I have to go, I'm never going to make these kinds of videos again. That's hurt financially. And then we start working hard on...
Speaking of wedding videos.
Yeah. Yes. And we started working hard on other kinds of film. And we started saying, this is what we're going to do. And this is what we got into this in the first place to do. I mean, that was even in college. And when I was choosing a major, I wanted to go into animation. And I realized, what are my long-term goals? And what am I really wanting my life to look like? And I realized it didn't make as much sense to try and major in animation. I needed to major in film studies. And so, and that's okay. You can major in animation too, and you might end up directing films. It's that, you know, sometimes it doesn't really matter. It's just at certain points we make course corrections because we know what the vision is. We know what the end goal is. Even if it seems totally impossible, you have to believe that end goal and keep moving toward it.
That's great.
Yeah. So thanks for listening to this first episode. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think we should wrap it up.
Okay. So that's our first episode. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you can keep listening. Please subscribe so you can get notifications on upcoming episodes. We are going to be consistent. We're going to keep this thing together. And please check out our content on InvisibleMansion.com. You can follow us on Facebook as well, Invisible Mansion Pictures. You can learn more about some of the work we're doing with this podcast and some of the thought work and other things relating to that balance and that film life and that family life by following Anna, Anna Tallman Coaching, or
there's groups. Just on Invisible Mansion. I would say, like, the biggest compliment you could give us if you enjoy the podcast is to reach out and let us know what you think. Let us know if there's any things you're struggling with that you want us to touch on this podcast.
Questions are great.
Tons of ideas, but if you want something specific, we'd be happy to touch on it, to even meet with you. We love meeting new people and just see if we can help you out in any way or collaborate. So thanks for the time. Thanks for tuning in.
Awesome. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye.